Oh yeah, and then I told you there's this one guy. I didn't tell you actually. There's this one guy who legit reminds me of Larry David. He's a doctor and he's a fellow. He's from Israel actually. And he has like the exact same glasses as Larry David. His hair is like, it's not like all white. It's like he's bald though, but he has like, it's like blackish white, like salt and pepper. He literally walks, like I can't even show you the walk, but his like arms barely move when he walks, right? And he's super sarcastic, like so sarcastic,
That's
right?
great.
Yeah. He's actually like, and like, I don't know why I was walking behind him, I just started dying of laughter because he reminds me of Larry David. And like, it's just like the way he's like walking, he's like, I can't even show you, but I'll try. He like kind of walks like this. Right, but like, and his like exactly how Larry David would.
You know, as he's walking by, and you're walking by him, you should do the Curb song, the theme song. Dun, 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 dun.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my, I guess it's over, no longer pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Your lockdown pick and pop partner.
That's so
No longer
sad.
picking, no longer popping.
Just a partner, I guess? No, hard pause.
Don't go there.
Relax.
Speaking of not going there, the banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
Man, I guess my game's going extinct because everyone just shoots threes nowadays.
That's a cheap shot, man. You don't like Markieff Morris's entry passes?
Yeah, but like if the big man is AD, we're not going to see the likes of Zach Randolph or any of the dominant big men anymore.
Yeah, so. Well, you've heard it. We all know it. The Lakers have won there. I don't know. I've heard 12th in actual LA, their 17th title for the franchise. LeBron James gets his fourth championship and his fourth finals MVP. They win 4-2 over the Miami Heat this year and concludes finally the 2019 the 2020 season in October. Never thought I'd say those words. That's a wild turn of events, guys. I don't know, man. Do you really want to break this down? Game six was a huge blowout. There's no point in breaking anything down. Game five, I'm sure everyone's already seen it already. Jimmy Butler just basically willed the Heat to victory in game five. I think he played like 47 minutes and change. So, we've all seen it. We've all done it. And really, the only thing that's left is Raj, your favorite conversation about how great LeBron James is.
Before we get there, I do want to talk about the game, particularly just how anticlimactic it was. But again, this is nothing against Miami. I think they were just outmatched and they had a huge game five, which, as you mentioned, Jimmy Butler pretty much carried the team on his back. And expecting anything close to that performance in back-to-back games is almost impossible. But the game was a doozy. I think pretty much with like 8 minutes left in the first, the Lakers managed to get a 10-point plus lead, and there were moments where it was like a 30-point lead or 25-point lead, and then Miami just had to make it respectable, and it was frustrating to watch. I was kind of flipping back between that and the Food Network, anything to help me digest that this
Wait,
Lakers
how did
win.
that game make you hungry?
No, I like needed to watch something that would make me like happy in terms of like, oh, like delicious looking food, like it there was Chopped was on, like anything but watching the Lakers crush the Heat. But you know what, full credit to them. Over the course of the playoffs, this bubble, they were clearly the most focused team, and there's a lot of doubts in terms of their performance going into the playoffs. Obviously, I was one of the big people who was saying they weren't going to get by Portland, and then if they met the Clippers they would lose. And you know what, they only had, what, four losses in the entire playoffs, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was five, right? Five losses?
Five.
Five. But overall, obviously, in the last game, the Lakers' defense stepped it up, but it was also just Miami just being tired and just out of it. Like, that game five took everything out of them. Like, people saw the clip of Jimmy Butler after the press conference after the game, walking away from the podium, and he could barely walk, and then he had to play 2 days later, and he just didn't have it. Like, you can see in the first quarter, I think he missed, like, two or three free throws, and at the time, he was shooting, like, 88% or 89% from the free throw line. And he just didn't look the same. Rondo blew by him three times in the second quarter, too. And at that point, he just knew it was over at that point, obviously. Like, they were up 18 points. You're like, okay, maybe Miami can bring it back. But they just couldn't get anything going. Their energy level just wasn't there. And I don't really blame them. I mean, they fought so hard in Game 5, which is an instant classic, obviously. But Game 6, they had nothing left in the tank.
Yeah, just on that note about playing games, again, this is nothing to take away from the Lakers' victory. It's just, I hope if and when the NBA maybe comes back to a bubble or limits fan attendance, that they don't ever have games that are 2 days spaced apart, especially when you want to see competitive basketball. And just having that schedule was a bit tough, and it was tough for both teams. And even if they had an extra day, I don't think the result would have been any different. But I think maybe we would have saw just a fresher Miami team, because they look like zombies out there. But again, LeBron was beast. He was amazing in Game 5. Like, if he had won with that Game 5 performance, I think it would have been one of the best closeout performances from a superstar. And Game 6, he matched that performance, and he really gave Miami no chance in that game, because he took over from the first moment, got other players involved. KCP was shooting and hitting shots. Rondo was actually shooting, like, surprisingly lights out.
Not so surprising.
Yeah, sorry, Playoff Rondo.
Yeah, come on, man. You call him by his proper name here. Playoff Rondo is a legend, Josh.
Put some respect on
him. I mean, the first five games, he was shooting, like, 31% from the field, so let's not go crazy here. But,
put some respect on the man's name, all right?
Hey, he started 6-for-6 in Game 6, obviously, so he's doing something right.
Yeah, showing up in the playoffs, man. It's all it takes for Rondo.
Yeah, and I mean, despite bad shooting, he was actually pretty effective in at least two of the first five games, just tapping out rebounds on key possessions and setting up his teammates in situations where they can succeed, especially like KCP. But yeah, like, Rondo was really good in the last game, obviously, and that sort of put them over the hump, especially in the second quarter, where they went from a lead from like 8 or 10 points to 25-27 by the time he left the game. So he was obviously huge, and you know, the Lakers deserve it, obviously. I mean, they were consistent throughout the entire playoffs anyway. And I think the big difference too is, like, you can see LeBron James's level of play obviously go way up in the playoffs, which is what he does every year. But his finishing at the basket was huge. I think he shot like 69% on twos in the finals, which is a massive number, especially against such a good defense. So he obviously stepped it up and going to the rim. And in Game 6, he was totally unstoppable with all these different variations of these layups that he hits. It doesn't look as aesthetically pleasing as watching Kyrie, but it's just as effective.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to look aesthetically nice as Kyrie, right? But LeBron's ability to finish over basically anyone in the league is pretty much incomparable, right? Like, if you look at the all-time greats kind of thing, I don't know, we got to go there once in a while. LeBron's easily one of the best finishers of all time. The guy is like Karl Malone size with, Kobe speed? T-Mac speed? That first step that LeBron gets every time when he wants to blow by somebody, it's like no one really has a chance. And then when he gets inside from the perimeter, like I said, you're talking about a guy who's like, 6'8", 250, all muscle? Yeah, good luck stopping that. Good luck stopping that when your center is, you know, Bam Adebayo, who's like 6'9". And literally any other center. I don't think LeBron's gone up against anyone. Maybe, like, you got to go way back to, like, when he was playing against Duncan and KG, when you saw a real big man really stop him inside. But other than that, man, LeBron he's a freight train. He's been a freight train since he came in the league, and he's only gotten bigger every year. And, you know, it makes sense that a guy, he spends like $1 million on his body every year. Now we see why.
Yeah, and one thing that I think you hit it right on the head right there is LeBron was always a great player in the paint, getting to the rim, a finisher. But this playoffs, and in the finals especially, he was hitting his long-range shots. Like, He was not a liability shooting from three. He was able to take advantage of when they would go under screens or if they were playing 3 or 4 feet off of him. He was making them punish. And I won't be surprised if, I don't have the stats on the off the top of the back of my head, but he probably was shooting 38-39% from three in the playoffs. And when he's doing that, he's almost unguardable. Honestly, like I think he's clearly taken over the best player in the league, and he's shown that he's the ultimate playoff decider. Like, if you have LeBron on your team and your team is undermanned in every other area, LeBron can account for that.
Yeah, my biggest question with LeBron is now, does he take the MJ route and go out on top? I'm not saying this year, obviously, but say if he wins another championship in a year or two from now, does he just leave the game at that point? Or is he going to be like, you know, a Kareem type of situation where he tries to play until he's 41, 42 until he can't really do it anymore? What do you guys think he's going to do?
I think for me, this is easy. I think he's going to play until his son's in the league.
So what is he now, like 15, Bronny?
Yeah,
he's going to be like 15, 16, right?
Yeah, I think this is his sophomore year in high school.
Well, yeah. So he's got another 3 years to go before he can even enter the draft then.
Well,
the scouts are not going to like that he's smoking pot on LeBron's couch, though.
Yo, the memes that came out of that were amazing. LeBron having one more job to do when he gets home with a belt is incredible, man.
Oh, man. Like, we're not going to see Bronny outside for a while, that's for sure.
Bruh, like LeBron would ever lay a finger on his kids. Imagine LeBron James actually physically disciplining his kids. He's probably got someone hired to do it for him.
I saw a video where LeBron finally got home, and he was talking to his daughter. And his daughter was in this small little miniature house in their backyard. That was the miniature version of the house that they have right next to it. So their main house is like 20 feet away from this house in the backyard. It's a miniature version, and she gets in there, and LeBron follows her in this tiny little miniature house, and she's like pretending to cook for him. It's actually really cute. It's pretty funny though. But like the fact that they built this miniature house in their backyard of their main house is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's not even a pool house. It's actually a miniature house.
It actually was a miniature house. It's pretty incredible.
Oh man, I like that. It's pretty obvious. I think we're all pretty big LeBron haters. But at the end of that whole rant, Josh goes, "Yeah, it was pretty cute what his daughter was doing. I can't hold that back."
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't show the other side of the backyard for a reason, though, because the doghouse is probably there and Bronny's probably in it right now.
Oh, man, poor Bronny. Do we want to do this Jordan-LeBron debate or nah? That's a hard pass, right?
Yeah, it's a pass.
I don't want to do this. Yeah,
it's still ongoing, right? Like, if LeBron wins another two championships, then who knows? Maybe at that point it's unanimous.
Unanimous? Wow, Josh. Just like the finals MVP voting this year. No Hubie Browns around this year.
I mean, it's hard to deny if LeBron like surpasses Kareem and his points total for the regular season, then he gets up to six championships, and he basically has every stat covered in the playoffs right now. It's going to be hard to say that he's not the GOAT at that point, but does he have two more championships in him? We'll see.
Well, we're witnessing greatness, guys. Just soak it in. Soak in all that greatness. That's it. That's all I got. Let's move on. Talk about our beloved Miami Heat team. Behind Josh's, favorite player, Jimmy Butler, of course. Where would you put Jimmy now in the league? Raj, you said it last time. He's pretty much elevated himself above the likes of, like, Paul George, right? We got to look at Jimmy as, like, a bona fide superstar at this point. There's no more of this, oh yeah, like he's a second or third tier star kind of thing. It's more of just, he showed up. He showed up to the playoffs. He took this team, took on a different role than he's used to, played that like semi-point guard position that, half of us laughed at him for because whoever thought that Jimmy Butler could be a point guard kind of guy. And then basically shouldered this team to two wins in the finals on his own, right? Like there was very little help from anyone else at that point, especially with, obviously, Dragic and Bam being injured. So it really goes down to where does Miami go after that, right? You're looking at a Dragic contract that's expired. He was supposed to get paid. We'll see what happens this year. And you're building around a really young core between Bam, Duncan Robinson, and Tyler Hero, who are all like second to, or a rookie to third or fourth year player, I think Bam is. Super young team. So, you know, how do you elevate this roster even more at this point, Raj?
I think there's a lot of areas where Miami could improve. And I think the key thing is they have that young core. They have good weather. They have good culture, good coach, a great GM. But just to go back to your first question, where does Jimmy stand? I look at the East and I put him right behind two superstars in Giannis and Kevin Durant. Like, I would put Jimmy Butler as a bigger impact player than Kyrie Irving, particularly because Kyrie Irving can't manage to stay healthy and his antics and beliefs off the court kind of make you question a bit of his sanity. But overall, like, I think he's a bigger name than anyone else in the East. I think he's a bit more established than Jason Tatum. And in the West, there's only a few names that you can really put ahead of him clear cut. And the names of, obviously, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry are like the big names that go ahead of him. I think I would put him in the
Anthony
category.
Anthony Davis, James Harden, Luka Doncic.
I would put him in the same category as Luka Doncic and James Harden.
Yeah,
because I think you're only measured by what you've done in the playoffs, and not many players have said they carried their team to a NBA Finals, won two games against a team that has two potential top five players. He went through the likes of a pretty tough Indiana team, but again, like, that wasn't a big accomplishment in terms of, like, they were expected to win that series, but the way they had won it, they won in four. Then they handled Milwaukee, and they beat down a Boston team that on paper had more stars, more talent, more experience than them, and they put up two games. Like, and again, all of that was mostly because of Jimmy Butler. I don't know. James Harden obviously puts up great offensive stats, and on the regular season, he's a force to be reckoned with, but his contribution to the team and his effort and his leadership, those are things that you don't necessarily measure, but I would definitely give the edge to Jimmy Butler in a lot of those categories.
It depends on team dynamics, obviously, and how you're building your team up and, you know, what role that superstar player is going to play on that team. But in a lot of situations, I don't think Jimmy Butler would be this level of player. I mean, he's obviously in the perfect situation for him, and good for him for finding that situation and, you know, Spoelstra putting him in those scenarios where he's able to dominate throughout some certain games. But ultimately, like, he's what, 30, 31? And I'm not going to defend James Harden because I just refuse to do that, obviously. But I think it's pretty clear cut James Harden is a better player than him. He impacts the game more overall, especially offensively. But, you know, I think Luka next year is going to be like an MVP candidate, obviously. And if you're choosing between the two as of next year, I would probably take Luka going forward. But I think Jimmy Butler is probably a top 10 to 12 player if you're including Kevin Durant in the mix, obviously, too. I mean, would you take Damian Lillard or Jimmy Butler? Would you take Joel Embiid or Jimmy Butler? I don't know. It's a tough call, right? But it depends on your team dynamics.
Yeah, again, like, if you're looking at regular season and impact factor on, like, boosting your revenue and your sales and all of that, like, I would definitely take Damian Lillard. I would definitely take Joel Embiid. But if you're looking at, like, playing winning basketball, particularly in the playoffs, I think he's shown. And again, it's hard for a lot of these players to have that opportunity, but he's shown that he has a lot of intangibles that don't get measured in the box score. And I would definitely consider Jimmy Butler at this point a top 10 player. He's probably closer to 10 than he is like 5, but I'd probably put him like 9, 10. I don't know that many players I could definitely put ahead of him, obviously, besides the 5 or 6 that I named.
Yeah, I'd say he's probably around the same tier as, you know, Embiid, Lillard, as we already talked about. Somewhere around that 8 to 10 range is pretty perfect for Jimmy right now. But, guys, I gotta get back to this team. They've only got $82 million guaranteed for next year. That is, like, pennies. You're looking at, you know, $13 million from Solomon Hill, gone. Myers Leonard, 11.2, gone. Jake Crowder, 7.8, gone. The books are getting really light here, and Dragic is 34 years old. Josh, like, do you pay this guy out for the next few years?
No, no. I think what's going to happen is he's going to get a massive one-year contract. He's going to get like a one-year, $20 million deal. Sort of like what J.J. Redick did a couple years ago. And they're just going to run it back. Because I don't think you can bring in you know, a couple of impact players that might affect sort of like what Boston went through with Tatum and Brown. Like, you don't want to bring in too many guys that are going to affect what they do on the court and make them secondary options. Like, you want to see guys like Tyler Herro grow into what they think he's going to be ultimately, which is like a primary option on offense. So you don't want to bring in too many guys that are going to affect their game and not be able to, you know, stunt their growth or whatever. So I think they're ultimately going to run it back, and then come the next offseason, then they're going to try to go after the big fish. They're trying to go after, you know, Giannis, Paul George, Kawhi, those types, and then like really try to go for it in terms of building a dynasty.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to go after a Paul George. I think the player that Paul George, again, like I love Paul George, the idea. Paul George, the player, not so much. Again, I just think that like he's one of those players that like watching him play is enjoyable, but knowing in the clutch, deep down inside, he doesn't have that extra gear that not many players do have. So it's not faulting him for it, but he just doesn't have it. And other players that are those superstars have shown to have it. And again, like I would never put him in the same class as a DeMar DeRozan. But I think there is some resemblance in the ability to turn it on when you need to and be clutch and be able to make the right basketball play and elevating your game a little when the moments get a bit tighter and the games are a bit closer and everything means a little more.
You don't think the DeMar DeRozan is a big clutch player, Raj?
Here we go.
No, we're not doing this with DeMar, eh? Enough DeMar hate. I figured as like loyal Raptors fans, you guys would just jump on the opportunity to bash this guy, but
yeah, if you want to take the higher
road, that's off topic. With Miami, I think they're ultimately are going to run it back for sure. I don't think they're going to make any big moves. Like I can see a guy like, I mean, went after Gallo at the trade deadline, so he might be a guy that they go after ultimately. Again, maybe on like a massive one-year deal. Maybe they give him and Dragic a bunch of money. They try to run it back otherwise, and he would be a great complimentary piece. And then if he doesn't work out, then you get, you know, again, just go after the big fish come the next offseason. I only brought up Paul George's name as like an example of like a max type guy that you would go after. I'm not like saying he's going to be on the team. No, yeah. Of course. Ripping him apart, which is hilarious.
Has Gallo ever come off the bench, Josh? Do you know, like in OKC, he did not, but what about LA? No, right? Like he's always been a starter?
No, he's always been a starter. But, I mean, he would start over Jay Crowder, right?
Would he? Jay Crowder who shoots like 40% from the three?
Well, not in the last two series.
Jay Crowder who doesn't back off from LeBron? Is that better? I don't know, man. I'm just trying to give the guy some love. I like Jay Crowder. But I agree. A player like Gallo would complement this team perfectly, right? Veteran presence. You're looking at a guy who can stretch the floor and also play like decent defense. He's not an incredible defender, but someone who can just muck it up when you really need him to. And he knows how to flop. He gets to the line pretty well, just as well as anybody else in the league. So why not give that kind of player the opportunity, right? Does Dragic get, like, we're assuming that Dragic re-signs with the Heat, right? For 20, 21, 22, somewhere like that?
Yeah, but before we go there, I don't think Gallo is going to be a Heat player. I just think that Gallo is probably looking for a bit more of a long-term deal, and I don't think Miami is going to want to invest in a player that could inhibit them from getting a big fish down the line. And I really do wonder if they go after one of your Nugget players, just add a bit more versatility. And I definitely think they want to add a bit of front court depth behind Bam, so he's not taking as many minutes, and they have some flexibility of playing Bam at the four. And so I think they're going to add a backup center, or a center that's mostly like a defensive center. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the market. They would be a perfect fit, would be a player like Jeremy Grant. But again, he'd be a perfect fit anywhere.
Yeah, but he's the type of guy that you're not going to sign into the Heat, because he was going to demand 3 or 4 years at 50 to 60 million, which is going to take you out of the running for a guy like Giannis. So I don't think they're going to sign a guy like Grant. And he plays the same position as Giannis too. So I can't see that happening. I think if like Gallagher said recently that he's going to value winning over money recently. So maybe he's another type that's in the JJ Redick category of just taking a massive 1 year contract with a team like the Heat. And then after that, he tries to go for a 3 to 4 year contract to end his career.
All right, guys, let's keep it moving here. So Adam Silver's come out, you know, he says, don't expect the NBA to come back anytime soon. We're looking at potential free agency to start December 1st. Those are the tentative dates. And maybe January to start, if not February, to start the next season. Is that what we're looking at here, guys? Like, I don't know, when do you think it's going to come back, realistically? Because, you know, there's a lot of variables right now. Obviously, the NBA is looking at, you know, the MLB and the NFL, who are both doing it not in a bubble or with like a soft bubble for the NFL specifically, bringing in fans. As you heard, probably heard already, the Miami Dolphins played with like 65,000 fans in the stadium this past Sunday. And, you know, we know how safe Florida is these days. So obviously the NBA is going to be looking at these leagues as sort of their guinea pigs to start up next year, right? And then how they can safely bring people into the stadiums or into the arenas, because that's a lot of revenue that they don't want to lose out on at the end of the day. I don't know, Raj, like, when do you think it'll actually come back? You know, and what are you really going to do in these, like, 4 months, 3 months until then?
Yeah, so what do I think is going to happen? I think they're going to probably start on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So probably around January 21st. I think it's just after the holiday season, probably gives them enough time to like adjust depending on new protocols. And I do think in terms of just with COVID picking up across North America, that a lot of places and a lot of venues and arenas and cities are approaching it differently. So I think just to probably run it back in a bubble, I think they might do a bubble for like 2 months, do like 15 to 20 games. Then take a 2 week break, then come back, do another 15 to 20 games and do it like that and have a shortened season, probably a 60 game season. I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah, that's what I predict to happen. And what am I going to do in the meantime? I'm going to unfortunately not watch much basketball and probably watch a lot of football because there's pretty much football on every day with how COVID's affecting their league. And maybe some soccer and enjoy the holidays. And I always used to dream about having football and basketball in different seasons. And I didn't never imagine it in this situation, but you know what? It works.
Yeah, I'm going to say that basketball comes back on Martin Luther King Day as well. That was actually my answer originally too. And I think it will be a shortened season. I think it would have been an 82 game season if like load management wasn't a thing. And you would have, you know, a lot of situations where you'd have 4 games in 5 nights and 3 games in 4 nights. But ultimately, the NBA and the NBA Players Association probably won't want that. And I think what they're going to do is like market bubbles. So if you're in the New York area, you're going to play New York and Brooklyn 4 times within a span of a week and a half or whatever. So you stay in that bubble for a good 4 to 6 games, depending on if you're in the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference. And then you treat LA the same way. And then you treat like the Midwest teams the same way. I don't think it's going to be as much travel, which like that's one thing in the bubble that I think that they can try to implement if that's even possible come playoff time. I'm not sure if they can change how the whole structure works, obviously, but the lack of travel really improved the gameplay, I think, overall, with players not having to travel all the time, being tired, even though there's a day in between a lot of these games. But ultimately, I think there's going to be like a bubble type system, but I think there's going to be like maybe 25% capacity in terms of fans when they come back.
Yeah, I honestly strongly think they're going to go back to a complete bubble. I won't be surprised if they have 2 sites just for logistics and also for timing of games and making sure that like West Coast and East Coast have favorable times for games. And I wouldn't be surprised again if they do it in like 3 blocks. So like you'll play like if you're in the Eastern Conference, you play your Eastern Conference opponents of the first block. And then they'll have like a central block where like everyone plays everyone, like it's a mixed conference block, and then back to East versus West block. And then you play your playoffs like that. And then in the finals, you'll just play like they've been doing it in Orlando. But yeah, I really don't think they're going to have fans there. I really don't think that this COVID situation is going to improve. And if anything, the NBA set such a good benchmark that the players are not going to settle for having worse conditions because they can always point to it was better in the bubble. And it's just hard for
players want to go into like a 3-month bubble and then go into another 3-month bubble though. Because if you're going to finish the regular season, it's going to be at least 6 months probably, right? Or 5 months. And you're asking the players to go into a bubble that's even longer.
No, but I think they would do it like a 2-month bubble, then they would have a break in the league.
That makes more sense.
Or they can stagger it. So like the Eastern Conference would start before and they would play for like you would play like 12 games or whatever they decide. 12 games in 25 days, like every 2 days. And then everyone goes home for 2 weeks or whatever. And then you do that again for the West and then East and then West and then mixed and then yeah. But I really don't foresee a situation where they're back to 82 game regular season with lots of travel. I don't see that happening, especially in basketball.
I mean, I guess it's tough to pitch less than 82 games too, right? Because the ownership is going to sort of want as many games as they can just to optimize revenue, especially if you're, you know, looking at either reduced attendance or zero attendance in these arenas. At least TV money would be coming in for the teams, right? So at least there's some sort of revenue coming in for the ownership. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's them who's going to make the real decision, right? Like, it can't just be the NBA who just says, you know, we're doing this. And then all 30 teams just have to abide by it. It's obviously going to be a collaborative effort. And again, you guys brought it up earlier. Like, the players' union is going to have a big role in this too. Because, like you said, Raj, you know, they've been treated pretty well in Orlando. But then again, no one's going to want to have to bubble themselves for like 4 or 5 months at the same time either. So it's going to be tough. I also, like, selfishly and, you know, from a homerism kind of perspective, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Raptors in this situation, right? If you end up having teams that, you know, if you end up having a schedule where the teams actually travel to other home markets, does that mean the Raptors end up like the Blue Jays and just find like an American home for the next couple of months kind of thing? Because if they come into Canada, like, the Canadian government's been pretty strict on not allowing anyone to break the 14 days, or so they say at least, right? The Blue Jays had asked if, you know, they could get special exemptions for other visiting teams, and the government said no. When the NHL brought in teams for the bubble in Toronto and in Calgary, I think it was. Edmonton, my bad. I knew it was one of the cities in Alberta, whatever. The NBA, or the government just said no. Like, you're only allowed, I think, I heard a story from ESPN where they're only like, 4 or 5 reporters that were allowed to come in, and then the teams obviously had to isolate for 14 days as soon as they came in as well. So, you know, from a Canadian perspective at least, it'll be interesting to see what happens to the Raptors because, you know, they're the one team that's actually going to be affected by all this. And again, they might end up like the Blue Jays and making Buffalo or Rochester their home city for a couple of months there, which would be pretty, pretty shit.
We'll see.
Yeah, that would not be ideal, obviously. And since the Raptors have such a great home court advantage, too, playing in, like, Buffalo would be awful. Oh, my God. Can you imagine being stuck in a bubble in Buffalo? That's, like, the worst-case scenario for life in general.
Yeah, they play so bad.
Yeah, morale would be so low, man. My goodness. All right. You guys want to touch on anything else tonight? Do we want to sing LeBron's praises anymore?
Hey, you know what? For all the hate that we give him, I think... we did him justice in saying that he was clearly the best player. He made the biggest impact. And you know what? For all those doubters, myself included, one day we're going to look back at his tape and be like, he was doing stuff that at the time no other player could do. And in the future, very few players will ever be able to do.
Fuck LeBron.
I was going to say nicely said to Raj,
but damn, man, that's
that's unnecessary. Yeah, shouts to LeBron, man. Good job. Way to spend more than half your life in the NBA. Good for him. That's impressive as hell. Because I'm pretty sure all of us would have cracked within like 2 years of entering the league. So, you know,
Here's a not-so-bold prediction. Bronny James, the only way he gets in the NBA, if it's like a J.R. Smith and J.R. Smith's brother type situation where LeBron forces him onto like a training camp, and then he's there, and then he gets cut before the preseason starts.
Or, you know, a more relevant example of Giannis Antetokounmpo and his two brothers. Pop quiz, can you name the two brothers?
Thanasis.
Yeah? Who's the winner, though? Who's the Laker that just won this championship?
Thanasis?
Yo, that's a...
Kostas.
Thank you.
Kostas. He has another brother coming in, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's supposed to be actually good, though. I think his name is Alex.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be actually nice. Not like Kostas, who didn't even dress for the games.
But he did win a championship before Giannis.
True. First Antetokounmpo to do it.
Yeah.
There it is. All right, guys.
Relax. Wait 2 years until Giannis is on the Raptors. He'll get one. Don't worry.
Yeah, with Joel Embiid and Pascal eating up the rest of the paint. Right, Josh?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, all the major podcast platforms. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. Until next time, peace.